Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring James Stewart and Jane Wyman in Magic Town. Tonight, the Lux Radio Theater comes to you from Hollywood as usual, but your producer speaks to you from Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Washington, ladies and gentlemen. This morning, I started shooting my forthcoming picture at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. And that is why I come to you tonight from Washington, D.C. And rest assured that nothing less imperative could keep me from being on your stage in person, especially at tonight's performance. For Magic Town, I think, is one of the season's most refreshing screen hits and should be doubly rewarding with the two stars of this RKO release, James Stewart and Jane Wyman. I won't give away the plot, except to say that it's based on a unique and typically American phenomenon, the public opinion poll, which, sooner or later, ferrets out our tastes in everything from radio to a rhubarb. Of course, one national poll that goes on every day is your selection of the things you buy, from a seat at the theater to a box of soap flakes at the store. And when it comes to the latter, your preference for Lux reflects not only on the product, but on you yourselves. For every time you ask for Lux, you're casting your vote for a better, more discriminating way to care for nice things. It's curtain time, and we present Act One of Robert Riskin's production, Magic Town, starring James Stewart as Rip Smith and Jane Wyman as Mary Peterman.
When Rip Smith got out of the army, he resumed his practice of taking the pulse of the American public. No, Rip Smith is not a doctor. He's head of the Institute of Public Opinion, which is one way of saying that he... Well, suppose we explain it by hearing from one or two of his former clients.
I manufacture automobiles. Before we put our post-war model on the market, we hired the Institute of Public Opinion. They canvassed the entire country, found out exactly what the public wanted in a new car.
I'm editor of a woman's magazine. Last year, we doubled our circulation. How? By putting the Institute of Public Opinion on the job. They discovered just what our magazine needed to get more readers.
Yes, that's Mr. Smith's business, finding out what the American public thinks. But in recent months, clients have been very scarce, and overhead has gone up and up, until on this particular morning, Rip Smith is no longer in business.
Well, Rip, you can't say I didn't warn you.
Pull up a chair and gloat, Charlie. I don't mind.
Well, I was right, wasn't I?
What about?
About my method of polling public opinion. Too expensive, you said. You were going to find some miraculous shortcut.
Well, somewhere there is a shortcut, Charlie. A mathematical miracle. Some way to question, say, 50 or 100 people, all in one little small town, perhaps, and find out exactly what the entire country is thinking.
Rip, that's just nonsense. It costs money to get public opinion. It takes time. A lot of both.
Now, Rip,
I want you to come in with me.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. I'll think about it.
Now, you're in no position to be fussy. Here, look at this report. It's your report, Rip, to the McKenzie Company. No wonder they canceled your contract.
Well, what's the matter with that report?
Look at my figures and you'll see. Here. These are the figures we got on exactly the same subject. You weren't even close.
Let's see. In favor, 68.1. Against, 24.5. Undecided, 7.4.
Quite a discrepancy, I'd say.
Wait a minute. Charlie Stringer, I love you.
Huh?
With all my heart, I love you.
Then you accept my offer?
No, Charlie, I don't accept your offer, but thanks. Thanks very much. Mr. Twiddle! Hey, Ike, come in here. Ike, it's wonderful. I told you it'd work. Get in here, will ya? Rip, what's the matter with you?
Where's Charlie Stringer?
He's gone, but lock the door. He may change his mind and come back. Boys, I think I've found it. The shortcut I've been looking for. Remember that letter I got from Hoopendecker?
Oh, yes. Your schoolteacher friend.
Ex-Sergeant Hoopendecker. What a man. Listen to this. Listen to what he wrote me. When I got your letter, Rip, I tested public opinion here in Grandview on the subject you suggested. And here's the result. In favor, 68.1. Against, 24.5. Undecided, 7.4.
What's Hoopendecker got to do with...
Now look at this. Stringer's poll for McKenzie and Company. Stringer canvassed thousands of people all over the country, from coast to coast, cost a fortune. Hoopendecker canvassed a handful of people in one little small town. All right, Ike. All right. Read Stringer's figures.
In favor, 68.1. Against, 24.5. Undecided, 7...
Just the same, identical. One small town that thinks exactly the way the whole country thinks.
You're talking about a utopia.
Well, maybe it is utopia. Ike, Mr. Twiddle, all right, get me Hoopendecker on the phone. No, I'll call him up myself. Call up the Census Bureau. And get me the Almanac, too. Get me the Atlas. Grandview, huh? This could be it. This could be it.
It's 4 o'clock, Rip. We haven't had lunch.
All right, I'm finished, Ike. Boy, oh boy, I knew that somewhere there was a town like this. Look at these figures. Even the population breaks down exactly the way the whole country does. Males, females, the whole country in a test tube. What Grandview thinks, what Grandview does,
Hello?
The entire nation Ooh. Thinks and does. Exactly.
Oh, yes,
Mr. Twiddle, you know, we're going to Grandview.
We are?
We
Pick
are.
Pick up the phone, Rip. It's McKenzie.
Oh. Hello, Miss McKenzie? You got my message, huh? Now listen, I know you gave Stringer a contract for a poll on progressive education, right? He's been working on it for months, hasn't he? All right. Now suppose I start right now and I finish in 3 weeks. What would you say to that? I tell you it is possible. And I'll guarantee to come within 1% of Stringer's figures. Huh? All right, now let me get this straight. You put me on trial, and if this thing goes over, you renew my contract. Right? That's all I want to know. Thanks, McKenzie. Grandview, you good old mathematical miracle, here we come.
Well, did you see your old pal, Hoopendecker?
Did I see Hoopendecker? Certainly I saw Hoopendecker. Can you imagine it, Ike? In the Army, we used to call him Dirty Face. Now he's over there in the high school teaching romance languages.
He knows what we're up to, huh?
Yeah, and he's going to help us, too. Hoop knows everybody in town. I'm meeting him later this afternoon. You know where? The Old Town Meeting Hall. Best place in the world to get acquainted with the leading citizens.
Well, let's pray that these good people here stay average, that they don't change.
What do you mean? Hoop says they haven't changed in 50 years. Oh, I promised him I'd help him with the basketball team. He's coaching the basketball team or something. Say, where'd Mr. Twiddle go, anyway?
Back to the hotel, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's the matter? It's a wonderful hotel. Moody's Mansion House. I tell you, Ike, everything about this town is just perfect.
Look, Rip, supposing this burg is America, we can't go around getting opinions from the same people over and over again. They're going to get self-conscious, and once they do, you can toss their opinions right out the window.
That's why they're never going to know what we're here for. You and Mr. Twiddle and me are now insurance salesmen. Come to Grandview to go on a business.
Oh, no, Rip, no, no.
And as insurance agent, we can contact everybody in town, get answers on anything we want to know.
It won't work.
It will work. I've got enough money to keep us going until we get started.
Where are you going now?
Over to the municipal building. Get acquainted with the city fathers.
Well, anything you want me to tell Mr. Twiddle?
Yeah. Tell Mr. Twiddle to sharpen his pencil and rough out a chart. We're in business again, brother.
Of course the mayor's in, young man. There's a council meeting going on in there.
Well, do you suppose I could go and listen?
Go on in if you want to.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
The park and the playgrounds would go right here, gentlemen. As you can see, they're clearly indicated on this map I made. Oh, and here's where the hospital would go. Does that answer your question, Mayor Barnes?
I still insist that plan of yours is preposterous. What do you think, Cosmo Dickett?
Oh, Mary Peterman's been coming here for years.
There ought to be a what's it? A law against having to listen any longer.
This is a free country, gentlemen. The girl has a right to be heard.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nickleby. And I shall continue to exercise that right until I've drilled it into your thick skulls that Grandview needs this new civic center.
Well, what about the hooses, huh? The upkeep. That'd mean more whatchamacallit, wouldn't it? Taxes.
Mr. Dickett, did it ever occur to you that social improvements would attract new industry so that we could afford it?
Always wanting changes. Changes, changes.
Of course I want changes. It's about time we grew up and made Grandview a better place to live in.
No, no, Mary, you talk like this place was the back bumper of the universe. Why, this is a very fine community.
Well, of course it is.
Huh?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to butt in like this.
Well, that's all right, young fellow. Speak up.
Well, I don't know whether I have the right to speak up or not. I just arrived in Grandview today.
Well, what do you think of it? What do you think of it?
What do I think of it? Why, I've been searching for a community like this for years.
Oh, you like Grandview, do you?
I've just walked through your town, folks, with its stately elm trees and its lovely old homes, and I said to myself, here is a sturdy challenge to the evils of this modern era.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I watched your people on the street. I felt their vitality, their sense of security.
All in about an hour, huh?
There's real beauty here. It's almost indescribable. But you take it for granted. To me, a stranger, it's a hope and a dream of a lifetime. I, too, want to become a part of it. Now, folks, please don't change Grandview. Please don't ever change it.
Why, hearing him talk like that makes me feel, whatchamacallit, proud.
That's the kind of new blood this town needs.
I move we adjourn and forget all this nonsense about a civic center.
Well, thank you very much. However, I'll be here again at the next meeting.
Young man, come into my chambers. I'd like to talk to you.
I'm sorry I'm late, Hoopendecker. You know where I've been? Saying the town with Mayor Barnes. And what a wonderful town.
Oh, we like it anyway. Well, here's our old town meeting hall.
Say, this is great.
Just an old-fashioned community hall where folks drop in and say hello to each other. If you're ready to meet some of our citizens, I'll...
Yeah, oh, wait a minute. What's that newspaper?
This? Grandview Dispatch.
Let me look at it, will you? I may be wanting to take an ad out in a couple of days.
Lawrence Smith and Associates General Insurance.
Well, why not?
Your name's already in the paper, Rip.
It is? Oh, wouldn't know about that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Mr. Lawrence Smith, on his first day in town, managed to poke his unwelcome proboscis into the council meeting. Well, that's pretty cute, isn't it?
That's not all, pal.
Yeah. If you're really here to sell insurance, Mr. Smith, you would do well to start building goodwill and confidence before you tell us how to run our local affairs. Where's the slaughterhouse that publishes this thing?
Just down the street. Why?
Well, because I'm going to see the editor, that's why, right now. Where's the editor? I want to see the editor of this imitation newspaper.
Well, now, sir...
Where is she, anyway?
Stranger in town, huh? Editor died 10 years ago.
Come on, will you tell us?
Mr. Hodges? Gentleman here, kind of purple.
Well, young man, I gather you've a complaint.
Well, it's this story about me and the town tidbits. What, have you seen it?
Oh, yes, I proofread every word we print. Now, what's your complaint?
Well, it's snide, that's what it is. Taking advantage of an innocent stranger. These nasty, weaselly little digs, you know. No decent newspaper.
If you want to attack the policy of this newspaper, young man, write us a letter. We'll be glad to print it. Meantime, you can do your complaining to the acting editor who wrote the story.
All right, I'll talk to the acting editor.
Oh, Mary, this young man wants to speak to you. Oh, did you wish to see me?
Oh, yes. You were the young lady at the council meeting this morning, weren't you?
Well.
I just wanted to thank you for that very nice little story you wrote about me.
Oh, I thought you came in to complain.
Complain? Me? Oh, no. Not at all. I always believe in what the fellow said. There's just one thing worse than being talked about,
and that's not being talked about at all.
Hmm?
Well, in that case, you won't mind the second story I'm going to write about you.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If you'd excuse me, I'll get to work.
Yeah, go right ahead. Hey, look here. Now, look at this story you wrote about me. Here you say right here, quote, If you're really here to sell insurance, Mr. Smith, you'll do well and so on and so on and so on. What's with that? What's with that creates suspicion?
Oh, Grandview's already overcrowded with insurance agents. A clever man like you ought to stay away.
A clever man like me doesn't mind competition. Now, wouldn't you like to sort of just write a little retraction, something about being a little hasty, maybe, or... But on further observation, this fellow Smith seemed like a very charming fellow. Wouldn't you like to do that?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
No, you certainly wouldn't.
Oh, Mr. Hodges.
Yes, ma'am.
It's getting a little sticky in here. Think I'll go across the street and have a soda.
Hi, sis. Hey, I got a great scoop for you. Who do you think's in town?
Who?
Rip Smith. Mr. Hoobendicker told us
now,
he's here.
Now, calm down, Bobby. Calm down.
Hi,
who are you?
Well, I gather his nickname is Rip.
Are you kidding? Mr. Smith? Gosh, we were just going over to the hotel to see you.
Oh, that's all. Who's we?
Some of the fellas on the basketball team. Mr. Hoopendecker said it was all right. He said you were the greatest guy in the world.
Is that a fact? Huh? Well, I think he might have exaggerated a little.
And he said you agreed to help coach the basketball team. Gosh, I can hardly believe it.
Well, I think I'll leave you two to discuss your business.
It's true, isn't it, Mr. Smith?
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, that is, if you think I can be of any help.
Oh, boy.
Let's, talk about things over a soda or something. You see, there are a few things I'd like to straighten out with your sister.
Oh, well, I'll be with you in a minute, Mr. Smith. I want to tell the gang.
What'll it be, mister?
Well, I'll have the same as that young lady ordered over there.
I ordered a headache powder.
That's just what I need.
Goodbye, Mr. Smith.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, don't go. Now, I'm going to be around here for quite a while. Now, you have to get used to me.
Maybe you're right. I've gotten used to some pretty weird goblins in this town.
Goblins, huh? Mm-hmm. How'd that thing go about goblins? What was that goblin? Goblins, you'd better mind your parents and your teachers fond and dear. And cherish them that loves you. And dry the orphan's tear. And help the poor and needy ones that's clustered all about. Or the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. And that's from a poem called The Goblins Will Get You If You Don't Watch Out.
That's from a poem called Little Orphan Annie.
Little Orphan, oh, by George, that's right.
Here you are, Mary, and one just like it for you, mister.
Oh, headache powder. Thank you. Chocolate flavor, huh? Fine. Say, tell me about this civic center of yours.
After the way you shot your great big mouth off this morning?
Wasn't that stupid and not knowing anything about it or anything?
Yes.
Hope it didn't do any harm.
No, only set progress back a few years, that's all. Why did you butt into the meeting?
Because I was just busting with good spirits, that's all. The town looked so perfect to me, I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to change it.
Sure there wasn't some other reason?
Well, if there was...
Oh, Mr. Smith, some of the fellows have to go home, and we thought maybe, well, for a starter, you could explain the back pass dilemma to us. It says in the basketball guide that Rip Smith used it to perfection.
It does, huh? How are you, fellas?
The what dilemma?
Quiet, please. Oh.
I brought along a basketball just in case you'd like to show us some play.
Well, no, I don't think. Well, why not? Come on out. Come on. Let's go outside and I'll show you what I mean. Come on. It's okay, fellas. Glad you dropped by.
So that's the back pass dilemma, huh?
Well, I was building goodwill and confidence.
Well. I'm sure you made an excellent impression, Mr. Smith, with the boys.
No, well, don't rush off. Now, you were going to tell me about the new civic center.
Was I? by the way, I paid for my own soda, Mr. Smith. Goodbye.
Ouch. All right, Ike, now listen. You too, Mr. Twiddle. Now we can start peddling insurance. We've got our own office and everything set. Now, here's what we do. We start gabbing with the folks about insurance, and then very gradually, very cleverly, we sort of sneak up on the subject, see?
Yeah. Talk to a man about his life expectancy, but find out what he thinks of progressive education.
Right.
Okay, here I go.
No, today's Sunday. Start tomorrow. Eat your meals at different restaurants, talk to the waiters, cashiers, go to the barber shop, get your hair cut.
I just had it cut.
Have it cut again. Find out what the manicurist thinks, the fellow at the newsstand.
Yeah, what do I do?
You get out your little old tabulating sheet, Mr. Twiddle, and start arriving at conclusions.
Yes, indeedy. Then there's nothing to do today, huh? Well, I'm going back to bed and sleep.
Wait a minute. No, you're not. Come on. We're all going to church. Well,
this is it, Mary. This is the spot I was telling you about in church.
It's quite a walk up here.
Gosh, isn't it beautiful? Look over there. You can see the whole town from there.
Well, if I ever get to New York, I'll show you the sights.
You know, I brought the boys up here yesterday. Good for their legs, and basketball team.
Frankly, I never expected to make the basketball team.
Oh, now, come on. Sit down. Oh. Sit down. Relax.
All right. I'm relaxed.
Good. Now, start telling me about it. That Civic Center. Whose idea was it? Yours?
Well, actually, it was a legacy from my father. He never could put it over, though.
But you will, won't you?
You bet I will.
Yep.
Of course, you set me back a little, but I'll put it over. It's the only thing my father left me when he died. A worthwhile job to do.
Oh, I thought he left you the newspaper.
No, we just worked there, Mother and I.
You call yourself acting editor. Who's the editor?
Papa. There could only be one editor for that paper. He still runs it, sort of, you know.
Oh, I like that.
You know, you sound like him. Sometimes you even look like him. But you're not like him at all. Papa wasn't so desperate. What are you desperate for? Money? Power?
Are you rearing the bumps in my head?
The air always gets all charged with electricity around desperate men. I feel it now, strong.
You having fun?
Do you mind?
No.
What causes it, Mr. Smith? Does it all go back to when you were a boy? Or was your childhood so terribly ugly? You see, it doesn't all add up. The electric currents and selling insurance.
Or maybe you need a new crystal ball.
No, nothing wrong with the old one. Want to know what I see in it? Before you're through, you'll be running for mayor of this town.
Well, what's so awful about that?
Well, the awful part of it is, I'll probably vote for you. Now, shall we get back to town?
In just a moment, our stars will return with Magic Town. New hat, Libby?
I felt I just had to have one after William Powell showed me all of his. He has a terrific wardrobe of hats for the new Nunnally Johnson production, The Senator Was Indiscreet, in which he starred.
Do senators need such a lot of hats?
Well, Universal International thought this one did. For campaigning. A miner's cap, Indian feathers, a railroad man's cap, 10-gallon Stetson, mortarboard, and plantation owner's straw.
I understand Ella Raines has the part of a career woman in The Senator Was Indiscreet.
Yes, and she gives a good account of herself. She has a terrific fight with Peter Lind Hayes.
Oh? Who won?
Well, Ella, of course. She kicked, slapped, and bit, leaving poor Peter with black and blue shins and teeth marks on his hands. Ella came through with only a broken fingernail, not even a stocking run.
Well, naturally. Ella is a Lux girl. And barring outright accidents, stockings washed with Lux flakes last considerably longer. Strain tests by a scientific laboratory proved that.
Ella says she learned about Lux for stockings years ago. Her maid never uses anything else.
Just why so many smart girls have such good luck with stockings. Those strain tests showed that stockings actually last twice as long when they're washed with Lux flakes. Identical stockings washed with a strong soap or rubbed with cake soap went into runs quickly. But the Lux ones lasted twice as long.
So that makes Lux practically a Santa Claus. Because with Lux, it's just like getting an extra pair of stockings every time you buy a pair.